Welcome to Democracy Talk, where people, politics, and power come together in Southwest Washington and beyond. I'm Donna Sinclair, here with my co-host Mark Haller. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Donna. We're talking with the folks who are doing the real work of democracy, people who show up, speak out, and help shape the world around us.
This show is about power, who has it, who needs it, and how we build a democracy that delivers for everyone. And it's about stories, the lived experiences, hard choices, and everyday actions that shape the world we share.
So, if you care about your community, your rights, and your future, you're in the right place.
This is Democracy Talk.
Let's get into it.
Hello. Today on Democracy Talk, we're focusing on elections and why they matter so much to the future of American democracy. Across the country, battles over voting rights, representation, and election administration are intensifying. In recent months, President Trump's push for aggressive redistricting and gerrymandering in Texas has triggered a contest between Republicans and Democrats in other states, renewing national debates over who gets represented and how political power is protected. At the same time, Supreme Court decisions have significantly weakened key parts of the Voting Rights Act, especially protections that once helped prevent racial gerrymandering and vote dilution. These debates are not abstract. They shape who has a voice, whose communities are heard, and whether people trust the democratic process itself. More significant than ever in the wake of misinformation and false claims surrounding the 2020 election and other rumors that have deepened public suspicion about elections and election workers. So today we'll be talking with one candidate who's seeking to oversee elections here in Clark County. We will also talk with the Clark County auditor who has spent the past 27 years doing so. We'll be talking about election integrity, public trust, voting access, and what democracy looks like at the local level. Here on Democracy Talk, we think this just might be our most important Clark County election of 2026. So with that, I want to say hello to you, Mark.
Hi, Donna. Nice to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. And great to have you, Mitchell Kelly. You are a candidate for Clark County Auditor, and we thought we'd start by getting to know you a little bit and tell listeners about who you are and why you want to be Clark County Auditor.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation to this podcast. I'm grateful to be here. My name is Mitchell Kelly. I grew up in Clark County. I went to school, Ben Franklin Elementary School, then on to Shumway Middle School, and then back to Shumway campus when it became the Vancouver School of Arts and Academics. I graduated from there and then went on to study accounting at one of the top accounting schools in the country, BYU. After that, I came back here and started my career as an auditor for the state of Washington, where I audited local government agencies throughout Southwest Washington, focusing on compliance with federal reporting requirements for grants, reporting requirements for the financial statements that they prepare, and then also the use of public dollars. And I did that for several years. I later went to go work for an organization called Southwest Washington Behavioral Health, which was the regional support network overseeing behavioral health funding in Southwest Washington. And the funding for that organization was changed so that it was no longer overseen by a government agency, a local government agency. And I was part of the group that closed down that agency. Actually, I was the last employee of that organization. So when that organization closed its doors, I studied and got an MBA from Arizona State University. And then I returned and started working at the Clark County Auditor's Office. Hmm. Currently, I serve as the reporting and analysis manager of Clark County. I manage a team of professionals that prepare the financial statements for Clark County and work with every department to ensure federal compliance or federal and state compliance with reporting requirements. And I'm running for Clark County Office Auditor's Office. I've worked in government for the past 15 years. I understand how important government is for the services that we provide, especially the Auditor's Office. And it's really, like you mentioned, one of the most important audit offices in election this election season. The auditor's office protects election integrity, safeguards public records, oversees financial transparency, and provides essential services people use every day. And I want to make sure that our community has those services, and they're continued to be overseen by professional, nonpartisan leadership in the office. And so for me, as I've served the community for the past 15 years that I grew up in and I love, this campaign is about public service and trust and making sure that our county government works for everyone.
Well, you mentioned nonpartisan service, and I think, I gave you a list of questions, and I don't go down the list. I actually kind of, talk about the things that came up. So that nonpartisan element of this position is really important. So what are your thoughts about that? Why does it matter?
I think it matters because there's a lot of different ideas of how different ideas. Every party has a different agenda, different ways that they want certain things to run. And as far as the auditor's role, I am a nonpartisan individual that would implement the rules that the legislature, Washington State Legislature, has enacted that we have to comply with. I did that as an auditor, where I looked at the rules that either the federal government or the state government had implemented for grant funding or the rules associated with reporting requirements. And I feel that the system has to work for everyone in order for it to have the trust that people need to rely on. And this role is really critical to be a nonpartisan person and and run the office in a nonpartisan way.
What would you say are some of the issues and problems maybe that you're seeing in the auditor's office that you would feel would need to be addressed?
So first of all, I want to say thank you to Clark County because of the strong reputation that Auditor Kimsey has established. We have built a system that is highly respected across Washington State. And as the reporting, rather than problems I see opportunities for continued strengthening in public trust and in improving service. One of the challenges I do recognize is that our county is growing, and the service expectations that the auditor provides with limited public resources is a challenge. So governments must be able to continue to modernize technology, improve efficiency, and maintain strong cybersecurity protections. Whether it relates to financial reporting or election integrity, all of those pieces are really critical. And in addition, there are succession planning and retaining of highly skilled staff that needs to be evaluated at the auditor's office. Mm-hmm.
So how does your background, obviously you've been an auditor, so I really liked what you said about matching up the goals with what you're trying to achieve, because that's key for, especially in a nonpartisan office, it's an objective way to do things. So obviously you have some training in that, but why don't you tell us why voters should select you? Because this is a pretty hot race.
Yes. Yes, I feel so I have experience in both auditing governments and working inside our county government. I've worked, as I mentioned, I began my career with Washington State Auditor's Office auditing local governments throughout Southwest Washington. That gave me firsthand knowledge and experience of evaluating accountability systems, financial controls and compliance, and also evaluating operational risks that could happen at any government agency. And so today in Clark County Auditor's Office, as I mentioned, I also oversee the reporting and ensure compliance with generally accepted accounting principles, governmental accounting standards, boards, requirements, and Washington State reporting standards. And so I understand how government works. I how the public accountability systems function and how to manage complex operations responsibly. I have proven experience, nonpartisan leadership I work with everyone in the county. I've worked with lots of different government agencies throughout Southwest Washington, and I have a service-oriented approach with how I lead. So for me, this position is not about it's really about professionalism, competence, and public trust, and I have established that throughout my career.
Well, I will say, in looking at your website, I could see that you've been engaged in a lot of public service, and that was impressive to me, Mitchell, and that you do a lot of like really good volunteer work. So the key issue here, of course, is election integrity. Everybody's talking about it, right? It's the really big topic. So you've got this experience auditing local government, understanding of internal controls and standards, and you have a link to the county elections office on your website. So the question I'm going to ask is, how safe and secure do you think elections are in Clark County?
Yeah, elections in Clark County are safe and secure and are professionally administered. That's first and foremost. Washington has multiple layers of safeguards built into the election process. Ballots are tracked, voter signatures are verified, bipartisan observers are involved, voting systems are tested, and there are strict chain of custody procedures followed. In Clark County specifically, election staff follow detailed procedures designed to protect both security and accuracy of the elections. And in fact, they the elections department prepared a ballot journey process to help explain this process of how many levels of controls are in place for elections. And I think that's really important for people to understand that there are steps and checks and balances throughout the process, that there's no single person that controls the whole process. It's really a collaborative effort, and that these safeguards are overseen by to maintain transparency throughout the election process.
Well, we're going to need a break here in just a moment, so I'm going to ask you one question before we take that. And I know that went really fast, didn't it? How secure do you think American elections are overall?
Overall, so because elections are
decentralized
and managed by each county, they rely on those counties to establish the controls. Overall, I would say that elections are fairly safe and secure, that there are procedures in place to ensure the integrity of elections. And in Washington State, we have a very strict procedures that we follow, especially in Clark County that I'm aware of, that follow to ensure election integrity.
Great. So you've been listening to Democracy Talk, and we are here with Mitchell Kelly, who is running for county auditor in Clark County, and we will be right back.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
Welcome back to Democracy Talk. We are here today with Mitchell Kelly, who's running for Clark County Auditor, and we have been talking about elections. We're going to really get into some of the core of the issues right now that are important to our country and to our county. So I'm going to start by asking you about, you know, Congress and some state leaders have been proposing a lot of different measures, like the SAVE Act and the Save America Act. And so I'm going to ask you, what do you think those proposals get right, and what concerns do you have about them?
I think many voters want confidence that elections are secure. And that desire for accountability and public confidence is, of course, understandable and very important to make sure that people can rely on the outcome of the election. At the same time, any election policy changes should be carefully evaluated and ensure that they do not unintentionally create barriers for eligible voters or create administrative challenges for the auditor's office that is administrating the elections. So as county auditor, my role would be to implement the law professionally and fairly while ensuring and voters continue to have safe access to secure and accessible elections. And there's a lot, I know that there's a lot of changes that are being proposed. This reminds me of something that happened a few years ago where the American Rescue Plan Act issued a funding to a lot of jurisdictions. The funding was released to the jurisdictions as they were writing the rules that we had to comply with. And the auditor's office oversaw the funding for Clark County, and I was responsible to make sure that we complied with all of the laws that were being established as those were, as we were receiving the funding. So I'm confident that whatever changes end up settling and with the legislators who are creating the laws, that I will work with the team to ensure that people have the access that they need to know how their vote can be counted. That's what the most important thing is to me, to ensure that people feel confident that the outcome of the election is that their vote will be counted, and that we can establish the education and information needed so that people will know how to vote, regardless or however the landscape ends.
So you are a financial guy.
Yes.
And so one of the questions I've had, one of the things I've thought about when it comes to the Save America Act is all this paperwork that is required. And it seems to me that that would actually be onerous for the auditor's office. Is that, I mean, what do you have to say about that? That seems problematic to me. Because don't you already have to show your ID to register? Or at least have, like, documented ID?
Yeah, you have to have documented ID to register a vote.
We already do, though, right?
Yes, yeah, okay. Yes, yes. So, yes, if the legislation ended up having additional paperwork, that would be additional paperwork that we would have to process, store, somehow figure out how to retain and ensure that that was being appropriately handled. So, yes, you're right. If that's how it ends up resolving, that could create some challenges that we'd have to navigate. But I'm confident that I can help the audit office resolve any of those concerns that come up. I've done that throughout my career. So I'm confident that I could help maintain the public trust in elections that is so important, that we all agree is what we really need to rely on.
Well, and I'm pretty confident you could, too, based on your resume and talking with you. The question I have is, what do you actually think about that? Is that necessary? Because there's a cost to it, too, right? It's not just that there's more paperwork. There's a financial burden for the state. So I want to know what you feel about it.
Yeah, as a nonpartisan role, mm-hmm. my role would be to ensure that everyone has the information needed to make sure that they could vote. If there is an administrative burden, I would, of course, work with our legislators and help them understand the impact that that's had and work with resolving any administrative burden that may happen. Right now, we are speaking in hypotheticals, and we don't know exactly how this legislation is going to settle. There are lots of variables that could change, and that's the legislative process. Where we vote for legislators who then make the rules that we comply with. And that's what my role would be, to ensure that however the legislation over elections settles, that the citizens and the voters of Clark County will know how to vote so that their vote will matter.
So not to be pushy, but I'm going to. Because the next question is how significant the issue of undocumented voters is. And so what I'm really asking you here is, do we need something like this? And this is something that's important to voters.
Yeah.
It's not a partisan issue.
Right.
It's literally a democratic issue.
Yes.
And I don't mean democratic with the large D. I mean small d, democracy.
Yes.
So can you tell us what you think?
I don't think that there's a significant, based on available information for Clark County and Washington State and the country in whole, I do not think that there's evidence of a significant non-citizens voting in our election process. There's lots of safeguards, specifically Clark County has and Washington State has, to ensure that elections have integrity and that voter eligibility is
been determined.
Yes. So for me, I think it's important to really focus on evidence-based discussions and maintain public confidence throughout the election process and ensure transparency and accountability. Because of my background, I'm much more focused on evidence-based processes. And if there were an item that we need to evaluate, then I would evaluate it. But we need to focus on evidence-based and ensure that people feel confident in voting. Destroying the confidence that people have that their vote matters is one of the biggest problems I think we have. And we need to establish, we need to ensure that people have confidence that when they are voting, that it matters. And from my perspective, we have done that in Clark County, and I will continue to ensure whatever the legislation is that passes, that people will have confidence that their vote will matter.
Okay. So thinking about hypotheticals here, and this seems to be one that's a major for our state. You know, the president has talked about ending the vote by mail. And of course, we vote by mail, and we voted by mail for quite a long time, and we've built a significant infrastructure around voting by mail. What do you think about that proposal, and what would that mean for us? How would we adjust if voting by mail was no longer allowed? I mean, what would it take to revamp our entire infrastructure around that?
Yeah, when I first started voting, I did absentee ballot voting. That was prior to the vote by mail mandate that the state had implemented. And throughout the years, Washington State has established, as you mentioned, a very well-run process of a vote by mail system. If that were to change, prior, we would go to schools or the elementary schools or local areas. The infrastructure that would be needed to move back to that way would be significant for Clark County. So that's just the way it is. We have set up the infrastructure for a vote by mail system. So to deviate from that would require a significant variance from what we currently do.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left, believe it or not. So I have a couple of questions. That doesn't give you half the time you probably wanted to say what you wanted to say. So I'm going to ask you an important question. So we know that there are people in Clark County who are concerned that our elections have been compromised. So what specific evidence or safeguards or practices would you point to in order to reassure them?
If somebody has concerns about the election process, I would encourage them to come and look at the process. It's available to anybody that wants to review it. I've done that. I've gone through the steps of being an observer, a voter process, and you will see that all the checks and balances that are in place to ensure that elections are being maintained in a professional and secure way.
Yeah, I'm an election observer also, and it's pretty exciting stuff,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it is.
So our show is called Democracy Talk. What concerns you most about the state of democracy right now, and what gives you hope? We've got to talk about democracy.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, one of the things that is concerning to me is that when you look at social media or national news, there's a lot of negative talk about elections, about each other, but when, as I've seen, as I declared my candidacy and worked with people from different political backgrounds, I have been encouraged by how much people care and how much it matters to people and how willing they are to work with me as I've been developing my campaign and working with people from such different backgrounds. I think people want to have trust restored and want to rely on the professionalism and the nonpartisan oversight of elections. And that is the thing that really encourages me, as I've seen firsthand how people have been so excited and wanting to help my campaign. And it's been the thrill of a life.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting when you get involved with politics. Like, if you're concerned, get involved. Volunteer for somebody. Get to know the people who do politics around here, because it's not really a partisan thing. We all tend to have very similar values. We care about our families, our communities, our elections, and I'm glad that you've learned that. So why don't you give us your contact information so that people who are listening to this program can reach out to you and learn more about you and decide if they want to vote for you.
Great, thank you. So voters can learn about my campaign at MitchellKellyForAuditor.com, and there you can find contact information, how you can reach out to me, and I welcome anybody wanting to have more conversations to reach out. So yes, that's the best way to reach out to me.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us today. Mark, you have anything to say?
Yeah, thank you very much, Mitch. It's been a nice conversation. We really appreciate hearing your thoughts on this.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. All right. Well, you've been listening to Democracy Talk, and we will be back with our retiring county auditor, Greg Kimsey, in just a few moments.
Shriners Children's has opened a new pediatric orthopedic clinic in Vancouver. The clinic offers evaluation and follow-up care for children and teens with orthopedic conditions, including sports-related injuries. Care is available regardless of a family's ability to pay. Details about the Vancouver Clinic are at shrinerschildrens.org/Vancouver Clinic.
Welcome back to Democracy Talk. Today we are talking about elections, and we are going to be talking next with County Auditor and retiring County Auditor Greg Kimsey.
Well, I'm trying to say I'm not retiring. I'm just not running for re-election, because I am actively looking for something else to do after December 31, 2026. I just don't want to have to go to the office every single day. But I'm absolutely looking for something else to do after the end of this year.
So job seeking, Greg Kimsey.
I don't need to have a paying job. I just want something that keeps me, I can help someone that I find interesting, gets me out of the house, gives me a reason to get up in the morning.
I bet you'll find something pretty easily. There's a lot out there. I won't ask the question exactly the way I was going to ask it, but after more than 28 years in office, and you can tell us a little bit about who you are with this, why did you decide that you're not running for election this time?
Well, I had thought really seriously about not running for re-election 4 years ago. But at that time, the whole election denial fever dream was still in full force. And it just seemed like the wrong time for me to step off the stage. Until recently, it seemed like the election denial movement had really subsided here in Clark County. Over the past few months, not so much election denial, but the election legislation, particularly at the federal level, has really ramped up the activity level around elections. It just seemed like the right time for me to step away.
Yeah, I've observed that too, and it seems like every couple of years there's this sort of increase in election suspicion. And so, what's that been like for you, as an auditor who's been doing this since 1999, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's been a wild ride. Beginning in 2016, when Donald Trump said he would only trust the elections if he won, until again just very recently, that was certainly a very, very challenging 9 or so years. But you know, it goes back longer than that. Some of your listeners might recall the 2004 Rossi Gregoire contest, which was at that time the closest statewide race in the history of our country, ended up being decided by 133 votes. And there were people at that time who were expressing concerns about the integrity of the election, not nearly to the extent that we've seen since 2016, 2020. But you know, there was certainly concerns expressed at that time, even back 2020 with what I like to call fondly the Florida fiasco, the Gore v. Bush presidential race, where hanging chads and all that. But again, not even anything closely approaching. The concern that many citizens expressed post 2016, and yeah, that was a wild time.
Right, that was 2002. Yeah, you said 20, but so I know you didn't mean to do that with, but that's okay. I just wanted to clarify because
it was a little while back.
We had a lot of trouble in 2020, so I can see why that is the number. I'm curious about the Gregoire Rossi thing. I see that cropping up. People saying that. What can you tell us about that specifically in a few words?
Well, the first thing I would say is that ended up going through the entire election challenge process with certified results, two recounts, and then in law, our law provides for a contest of an election. And that election of governor that year went through all those steps. And when it got to the contest of an election in front of the Superior Court, the two sides, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, they spent a combined $6 million. That buys you a pretty powerful magnifying glass. That there was never an allegation of fraud by an election administrator during that contest. There was never allegations of hacking of computer systems. There were mistakes made in that election, and King County, being the biggest county, did have some mistakes, and it did it got a lot of people's attention. And unfortunately, it has created this kind of ongoing urban or statewide myth that King County, quote-unquote, stole the election for Crestian Gregoire. Nothing could be further from the truth. There were about 600 ballots that election workers were not able to find in the elections office prior to certification. They went after certification. They were discovered. They went to the Washington State Supreme Court and said, what did we do with this? What did we do with these? The Supreme Court said there's no error by the voters. These were properly registered voters voting their ballot. The voters did what they're supposed to do. We should include those in the recount results. And that's where a lot of that concern over the Rossi Gregoire contest. To this day, there are people who still express those concerns.
Was there something done to try to make sure that wouldn't happen in the future?
Well, there were lots of things done. In King County, the elections director had been an appointed office. Following that Rossi Gregoire contest, the charter in the King County charter was modified to make the elections director an elected position rather than an appointed position, for lots of what I think are good reasons. So that was one action that was taken. In addition, King County, I won't get in my soapbox here, but an elected official has the ability to advocate for the interests of their area of responsibility. And as an appointed official, the elections director in King County elections official reported to the King County executive. Elections was never a high priority for the King County executive. Consequently, the facility that the King County elections office was working out of was just this warren, just this really cobbled together space. And so one of the best things that happened out of the Rossi Gregoire contest, the King County Elections Office got a completely moved into a brand new building that was remodeled to accommodate the needs of an election administration function. And they now have, since that time, they have a very, very functional, transparent elections office, and it works really well. And they those are two big things that happened out of that.
That's really fascinating. It kind of makes me think about this difference, not difference so much, but you know, if you are appointed or you have a job, right, you have to do the job for the person who appointed you versus being an advocate by virtue of being elected for the constituents. And I just think that's an interesting distinction in light of the conversation that we just had about the nonpartisan nature of the county auditor's office. So when you're advocating for the constituents, what's sort of at the core of that?
Well, you are advocating for what you, as an elected official, you are advocating what you believe is the best interest, long-term interests of your constituents. So, a recent example here in Clark County, where it's not nearly as bad as King County was, but we had our elections office was in a building that we moved into in 2003, and we had tried to minimize the cost of that. Of that move into that building in 2003. And as a result, we had, and of course, you might know the county's grown significantly since 2003. And so conducting elections in that old facility, we were able to do it, but we weren't able to meet some of our goals in terms of getting the number of ballots processed and reported on election night. That was a big goal that we have. And so we went to the county council and asked for $5 million to expand the work area for the elections office. Now, if I was an appointed elections director, I would go to the county manager, Kathleen Otto, and have to ask her support for that. Well, instead, I, as an elected official, I go directly to the people who actually make the decision, the county council. And so that's, I just think that, as you point out, Donna, that's a huge difference between appointed people and elected people, elected positions.
That's pretty interesting. Well, one thing I want to get to, and I think Mark has some questions too, and we don't have a whole heck of a lot of time, is your job has changed significantly since you started it. So what are some of the biggest changes since, I think it's 1999?
Yep. Well, one big change certainly is the increase in number of registered voters we have. When I came in office, I think we had 190,000 people. Today, we're 356,000 registered voters. So that's a huge change.
Wow. Yeah.
When I first came in office, we were conducting elections with what we call a hybrid system. We'd set up 75 or 77 polling places, and then we would mail ballots to people who were permanent absentee voters. And so we had two very, very different processes established to conduct elections with. And so then we had about 80% of our ballots come to us through the mail, but we're still establishing these polling places. Back to the Rossi Gregoire contest, we looked at that and said, yeah, there were mistakes made in various counties. And the way we can minimize the likelihood of election mistakes here in Clark County in the future is by having a single system instead of these two very, very different systems. And the beauty of vote by mail, one of the beauties is it's administered entirely within the office. We're not relying on 150 people who come, you know, one day or 2 days a year and are distributed throughout the county. We have everyone who's processing ballots is in our office, supervised by full-time, highly trained election officials. So that's been one big change to go from that hybrid system to that vote by mail. And then in general, just significantly increased use of technology. When we receive ballots, voter ballots from voters, they have to be sorted into precinct groups, and then we have to verify the signature. So we used to, years ago, we get the mail, and we go to the post office, get the mail, bring it back. We're manually sorting these ballots out in the precinct groups. And then they're put on a desk, and one by one, people are flipping through those ballots and looking at the signature on the ballot envelope, comparing it to the signature on a card. Well, today, they're run through this envelope sorting machine, which takes a picture of the signature. That image is transmitted to the people who are doing the signature verification. They're looking in a computer database. All the voter signatures are there. They come up linked to the ballot envelope from the voter, and it's a much, much more effective, efficient process. That's another big change.
Yeah, isn't it like the past 5 years of signatures that you can see on the screen?
It depends. We are able now to have more than one signature. That's a fairly recent change. We used to only be able to have one signature, but now it's the signature that you register to vote with, which for most people is your driver's license. So thank you for the reminder. If you ever wonder what your signature is, if you registered, look on your driver's license. That's probably the signature we're comparing against. And then, we can have now multiple signatures we can compare against.
Well, it looks like it's time for us to take a break. You have been listening to Democracy Talk, and we are talking with County Auditor Greg Kinsey, and we will be right back.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years, licensed in Washington State. Our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at BuckleyLaw.net. Again, that's BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
Welcome back to Democracy Talk. We are here today with County Auditor Greg Kinsey, and we are talking about elections and democracy. Take it away, Mark.
So, Greg, we ended the last segment. We were talking about, you know, the evolution from a kind of a two-tier system or a two-part system into becoming a more unified vote-by-mail system. You know, the president and the current administration is really working toward the, you know, trying to end the vote-by-mail. I guess the question would be, what do you think of that proposal, and what would it mean for us here in terms of, you've really got more of a perspective, I think, than most in terms of the logistics of what would be involved in converting back to a not voting by mail?
Well, so I've said for a long time, there are people who don't like vote by mail, who want to go to a polling place to vote. And my response to them has always been, you know, if the legislature changes the law and requires us to conduct elections using polling places, we will absolutely do that. We will absolutely do that, and they will be conducted with the highest level of integrity. You will get accurate election results. The reality, though, here in the state of Washington, is that vote by mail is incredibly popular. I just recently heard from people from Colorado. In Colorado, they send every voter a mail ballot, and they also establish voting centers throughout the state. And so voters have the choice. They can send back a mail ballot, or they can go to a voting center and vote a ballot at a voting center / polling place. Over 95% of the voters return the ballot by mail. So, if we have to go to polling places, we could do that. The big concern regarding kind of recent actions by President Trump and, you know, threats, I guess I'll say, to end vote by mail is doing it in a very, very short time frame. That kind of confusion would really harm voters. They would have a very difficult time understanding what's going on. And so that's my big concern. One of my big concerns about that. But bigger than that, I think back to a statement my friend, former state senator Joe Zarelli said one time. Says, the system works better the more voters participate. Democracy works better the more voters participate. And so it's impossible for me to understand why we would create a system or barriers that would result in fewer people voting, when in fact the problem isn't that the wrong people are voting. The problem is not enough people are voting. We should be building a system like we have across the country. We should be building a system like we have here in Washington, where accessibility and security and transparency are properly balanced. And I can go on, but that's how I think about it.
Well, that brings up one of the questions that we had that I is this issue of non-citizens voting. This is something we hear about. This is part of the narrative that is the reason people are saying we need all of these measures. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, the first thing I would say is in Clark County, in my, you know, almost 28 years now, we have one incident where we know a non-citizen registered to vote and voted. That's literally millions of ballots being cast. Looking a little bit broader, Michigan, Georgia have done extensive audits of their voter rolls, not found any significant numbers of non-citizens voting. The Conservative Heritage Foundation has a database of election crimes, I think they call it, from 2002 up till 2022, across the entire country. And I think they found 22 instances where people were charged as being non-citizens who voted. So this is just such a de minimis, just absolutely microscopically small number of non-citizens who are voting that it, you know, if there's ever a definition of a solution in search for a problem, this is it. So...
What's the one thing you genuinely wish maybe you'd had more time to accomplish while you were in office?
You know, this isn't a major deal, but I do think it's an important. It would be a significant improvement for our community. We are a charter county with the ability of local voters to sponsor, put forth to voters local initiatives. And similar to what happens in Olympia with legislators, when people are putting forth an initiative, they're an initiative sponsor, when people are signing those initiative petitions, if the initiative gets on the ballot and people are voting on it, all those people are lawmakers. And again, similar to Olympia, when a lawmaker proposes legislation, they are often required to ask for and they receive an estimate of the financial impact of their proposed law. Well, I think it'd be, and the first question that I think anyone should be asking when they're looking at a proposed law is there going to be a cost to this? What's this going to cost? And so I'm disappointed that 2 years ago or 3 years ago, voters by a very slim margin didn't approve language in the charter that would provide that that financial impact of an initiative. There's some other reasons why it failed, and I think maybe be a little bit of a retirement project for me.
Now that's breaking news, maybe. I love that. We can talk more about that when you retire, perhaps. I do want to ask you, there is an election going on right now, and it is pretty hot race here in Clark County. So two things. What kinds of qualities do you think the next county auditor should have, and are you going to endorse anyone?
So the... you know, I think just in general, to be an effective, good elected official, you just have to think about what, in your opinion, are the long-term interests of your constituents. What's the decision? What's the right thing to do for the long-term interests of your constituents? And then you have to be willing to just kind of take the chips as they fall as a result of that decision. I also think elected officials... serve their constituents better when they're accessible and they're responsive. And then finally, and this should have perhaps been the most important thing is, it's more important to be a listener than it is to be a talker.
Well, I think you've been very accessible, and I really personally appreciate that. Do you have another question?
Are you getting
down to the wire again.
Are you seeing one of the candidates that you think stands clear in your mind that you would look at endorsing?
So I'm not going to endorse any candidates until after the primary.
Okay.
Yeah. Letting the voters choose.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I announced early. You know, I announced after the first of the year, and I wanted the whole community to know here's an opportunity. Anyone who had an interest in being the next Clark County auditor would have plenty of time to make that decision and make preparations. So, yeah, I wanted shortly after I was reelected in 2022, I knew I wasn't going to run for reelection. And so I've been planning this for quite a little while. And so I had this time frame, and I knew 1st of January 2026 I was going to make that announcement. But I wanted to do it to give anyone who's interested lots and lots of time to have that opportunity.
Well, we've got a lot of good candidates out there. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is your greatest success or your most important legacy in this position?
That's a tough one. You know, I'd like to think that voters continue to have confidence in the integrity of our elections process, that when they see election results, they believe it accurately reflects the collective vote of the voters who chose to participate.
Yeah, so what ongoing programs, partnerships, and processes in the office are most at risk of being disrupted with a change of leadership?
Well, you know, everything we do in the auditor's office, almost everything we do, is governed by state law, federal law, state rules, WACs. And so any elected, any county auditor who comes in will take an oath that obliges them to follow the Constitution and the laws of the state of Washington and the federal government. And so if they abide by that oath, have respect for the professionals who are in the office, the office will do just fine.
Well, I'm going to take you back to 2020 before we talk about the state of democracy today. And so one of the questions that I had about that is, what were you thinking as you watched events around the country, and how did that affect you personally as a county auditor?
You know, January 6, 2020 was the saddest day in the history of our country. And it's still, I mean, it's still very emotional to me to think about that. It was a terrible, I will forever and ever sitting there watching that on television. I remember that more clearly than even the September 11th airplane strikes on the towers. You know, the peaceful transfer of power in this country is just one of the most important elements we have. And that was a direct attack on that day. And, you know, I'm kind of going beyond that a little bit. That's driven in large part because of people's unwillingness to absorb factual information and, you know, question it as appropriate, but facts are facts. And some people are just not willing to absorb those facts. And that's been pretty disappointing.
That's sure a challenge for the future. Particularly for educators, so digital literacy and identifying confirmation bias. And it's something we really see out there, that evidence-based thinking is dismissed.
Yeah. Identifying a credible source of information, I think, is going to be one of the biggest challenges that voters face over the into the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, our show is called Democracy Talk. So we may have just gotten to this, but what concerns you most about the state of democracy right now, and what gives you hope?
You know, several months ago, I was speaking someplace, and someone asked me, Greg, if there's one change you make in elections, what would it be? And I had to struggle a little bit, but pretty quickly came up with having some national program of establishing congressional district boundaries. There are algorithms out there that will sort of on a neutral, unbiased way determine these congressional district boundaries. The fact that we have so few congressional district boundaries that are really challenged, you know, either solid blue or solid red, is not good for democracy. So that's a very big concern I have. The threats to vote by mail, that's real. And I just hope Congress is willing to, stand up. On a more hopeful note, most people here in Washington really like the Washington election system. And I am hopeful. I just was back in Washington, D.C. For the first time in 22 years, but I was back there and spoke with members of our congressional delegation, and they understand that our system works really well. And I'm hopeful that as we get through this current kind of flurry of election, I'll just say craziness, that the country will move more and more towards the Washington election system and not Ohio, Georgia, Texas. And then I've been pleased and I continue to be hopeful that the federal judges will continue to stand up and do the right thing.
Well, you have been listening to Democracy Talk, and I'm Donna, and that's Mark right over there. And we are here with Greg Kimsey talking about one of the most important issues in our country and in our county, and that is election integrity and how we move forward in the future. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next month.
Yep. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate all your service over the years.
It's been my great honor.
Thank you.
Now there's folks in Washington that care what's on our mind.